Alrighty, are we ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 105, please. Psalm 105. And we're going to look at the most understated miracle in the Bible this morning. The most understated miracle in the Bible. Alright, Psalm 105. Give you a little bit of time to get there. Psalm 105 talks about the Exodus and how God led Israel out of Egypt and how he performed all these wondrous signs that he, the plagues that it took for Pharaoh's heart to finally rattle open and finally say, enough, I'll let your people go. Moses, and here they are. And so in verse 37, we're going to read one verse of scripture, but there's so much in this verse of scripture that I'd like for us to zero in on what it says. He being God, also brought them out, them being the Israelites, out with silver and gold. Notice carefully, and there was none feeble among his tribes. There was none feeble among God's tribes. What does that mean? There was none feeble among God's tribes. No one injured? All right. Let's look at the Good News Translation. The same verse of scripture. I think we have it in the PowerPoint. There you go. Then he let the Israelites out. They carried silver and gold. And all of them were what? All of them were what? Healthy and strong. How many years were these people in slavery for? 400 years. Now think with me. Slavery is very oppressive and harsh treatment. The conditions were less than ideal. These were malnourished, mistreated people. Malnourishment and oppression and mistreatment does not lend for a healthy and a strong body. So it defies us to believe that something happened the night before the people left Israel. A great miracle happened to where those who were aged, when they left Egypt, even the aged, even the sickly, were no longer weak, and they were no longer sickly. They were healthy and they were strong. There was none feeble among them. It defies us to believe that God performed a miracle of monumental proportions that you and I are not aware of because it's not talked about a lot. We normally read that verse and kind of skim over it, but we want to know what happened. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 12. So if everybody, think with me, 2.5 million people were all healthy and strong. Excuse me, these were slaves. These were slaves. They left healthy and strong. God did something, didn't he? Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning, and what remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. There is your miracle. I believe that as the children of Israel ate of the lamb that God prescribed, as they put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost, on the top of the door and on the sides, you know, forming the shape of a cross, not only were they exempt from the death angel, but God miraculously healed every single one of them who were struggling with sickness and disease. Because please remember, we're talking about an audience of slaves. Slaves are not healthy and strong. Amen? So this meal provided them a miraculous healing. It had to have. So this meal provided them a miraculous healing. It had to have. I cannot possibly think of anything that happened between the last plague, the last plague and their exodus out of Egypt that could have been the one thing that God used to heal these people. But they needed healing. None of them left weakly. None of them left unhealthy. None of them left sickly. They were all healthy and strong because of the meal they ate of the night before. Interesting, huh? It begs us to believe. Why do we talk about the Passover meal? Because that's how we got communion from. This is where we get communion from. From the Passover meal, you have to understand that the first 2 years that Jesus partook of the Passover meal with his disciples, he was not saying, "This is my body which is broken for you." He said that the last year, not the first 2 years. The first 2 years, they celebrated that meal the way the Jews were supposed to celebrate it. It's called the Seder Supper. And they had several cups that they drank from, and they partook of the meat of lamb and the bitter herbs to exemplify the bitterness that they had escaped out of Egypt. And on the final year, that's when Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Now, is there something about Jesus' broken body that brings healing to us? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Is this interesting? Isaiah chapter 53, please. So now let's look at Jesus' body. Because on that last year of his earthly ministry, when Jesus partook of the Passover meal with his disciples, he said, he added his own meaning. He said, "This is my body broken." This is not just a lamb that was sacrificed to commemorate an event that God performed thousands of years before. So he says here in Isaiah 53, let's jump into verse 5. He was wounded. This is the suffering servant. Who is he referring to, church family? Jesus. But this is a prophecy about Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Does anybody have a New International Version that has an italicized word after, instead of wounded, it has a different word at the end of the verse? Isn't there the word pierced? He was pierced for our transgressions. Does it appear in your?
Yes.
He was pierced for our transgression. Better translated, pierced. He was pierced for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, let's take note of that verse. Three words that we need to take note of. Pierced, number one. Bruised, number two. And stripes, number three. Pierced, bruised, stripes. All right, I want to show you the photo of the matzah bread, of the unleavened bread that is partaken of. You see those little brown spots on it? Guess what they're called? They're called bruises. See how that bread is pierced? And see how those piercings are in what? Stripes. So what is that, the bread that they partook of, represent? No wonder Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Right?
Amen.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are what?
Healed.
Okay? Anybody having any aha moments? Is there healing in the communion bread?
Yes.
Is there healing in the broken body of Christ for us?
Yes.
Yes. By his stripes, we are healed. In fact, Matthew quotes this. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, please. Matthew changes a few of the words from Isaiah's prophecy, the one we just read, Isaiah 53:5. Let's jump into verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she arose and served them. When the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were what?
Sick.
Notice that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the very scripture we just read. He himself took our what?
Infirmities.
And he bore our
sicknesses.
Interesting. Because when you see it originally in Isaiah, it says he took our chastisement. It talked about spiritual transgressions, not sicknesses, but Matthew quotes the very scripture in Isaiah 53, but he changes the words to infirmities and sicknesses. All this time, religion has told us that partaking of the Lord's bread was all about, you better have your ducks in a row if you're going to partake of communion.
Amen.
We've seen it as a hammer from God. And I've, in my time of 30 years of ministry, I've seen people refuse communion because they're like, man, I'm not going to put myself under judgment or condemnation. And I think they lack the understanding, church family, that we're looking at this morning. Communion was meant to be a blessing. It is the cup of blessing. It is not the cup of judgment.
Amen.
People are scared of something that Jesus already paid for. He bore our sicknesses. He carried our diseases. He was pierced for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. So let me ask you, is there healing? Is there healing in the elements?
Yes.
Do you have faith to believe that when we partake of communion here shortly, that you can not only say, you should say, Lord, examine me. Let me examine myself. I want to be right with you, Lord. But Lord, also, I want to claim the healing power that is in the elements.
Amen.
Okay, go with me to 1 Corinthians 11. So far, so good, everybody?
Yes.
Learning something new?
Yes, sir.
Good. So we're going to see what happens when... Okay, let me give you the background to the scriptures that we're going to read, because I've heard these scriptures quoted out of context, and once again, they've been used as a threat for people not to drink the cup of blessing unworthily, or else they will drink damnation to themselves. No, it's not talking about damnation in hell. That's a translation of the word there, but what that's talking about is judgment, okay? And we're going to look at that here shortly, but we have to understand what was happening. When the Corinthians gathered, listen, first off, one of the things, I'll need to do a teaching on these one of these days, on, did you realize that the early church had love feasts? They had love feasts, and they celebrated the love of Jesus. Wouldn't it be great, church family, if we had a Locust Grove love feast just to celebrate God's love and God's love for us through Christ and loving each other and, you know, just having a wonderful time. But what these cats used to do in the Corinthian church is some of them would just gorge themselves on so much food. Some people left hungry, other people left stuffed, and then some would get drunk on the communion wine and others didn't have any to partake of. It was mayhem. It was chaos. Let me say, first of all, we don't serve alcohol. This is grape juice. So there's no way anybody can get drunk on grape juice.
Amen.
Thank you. These cats were getting drunk. We say we serve a little wafer. We don't serve a meal. Following the love feast, then they would partake of the elements. And it was, let's just read it, okay? I don't need to explain it to you when it's just right in front of us, okay? Let's read verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Okay, stop there. What was happening, once again, they were not discerning the Lord's body. Can I ask you this question, church family? Are we discerning the Lord's body this morning? Because in the Lord's body there is what?
Healing.
He was pierced, right? Wasn't there a spear that was thrust on his side, pierced his side? His wrists, his ankles as he hung on the cross, there were piercings. There were stripes, there were bruises. He was bruised for our iniquities, right? The lashes placed on his back. Those are our healing, not just spiritual healing, because we saw Matthew's gospel says they were physical healing, right? Matthew quotes Isaiah and he says, it's not just spiritual healing. Yes, it's that. But it's also physical healing. He took away our infirmities. He took away our sicknesses. All right? And by his stripes we are healed. Notice verse 30. For this reason, many Corinthians are what and what among you?
Weak.
They are weak and sick. Isn't it interesting that that's the opposite effect that the original communion night had? Let's pop up that Psalm 105:37 again, Miss Laura, please. He let the Israelites out. They carried silver and gold, and all of them were healthy and strong. The blessing of communion is healthy and strong, but when not discerned properly, as in the case of the Corinthian church, because that was a very unique, listen carefully, church family, I do not believe that today we can replicate that same judgment on ourselves. Because nobody's getting drunk, nobody's gorging on somebody else's food. Can I get a witness in the house, please? But because they were doing that in the original Corinthian church, as a consequence of the judgment, they were what two things? Weak and sickly, and then yet another one, some even died prematurely. Weak and sickly. Why weak and sickly? Because it's the opposite of what communion was intended to be, to make us strong and healthy.
Isn't that a blessed word? Pastor Joe speaks truth because the truth is in the Word of God. And it also says that we should not forgo assembling ourselves together. And as Jesus was with his disciples that night, in a very solemn and serious note, he was telling them, as Pastor Joe said, he wanted them to be whole. He wanted them to remember something familiar with a new twist. This is the new covenant. Now, we're doing things a little bit different in 2020 because of COVID. I'll give you some instructions on how we're to go ahead and have the communion this morning, how we're doing it. The little cup and the wafer is in one piece. We're not distributing this through the ushers. We're not doing anything like that. We want to keep the social distancing, and we want to be on the, you know, guidelines on how to be healthy. And together we will break the bread together, and we will take the cup. If upon examination of yourselves through prayer, you feel you need to pray about this, have a little self-soul-searching, please do so. Because this is between you and God. This is not something we do to impress our neighbor. This is not something we do because we are a leader of the church or hold a position. This is something that is done between you and God. This is the new covenant that Jesus Christ himself brought to you individually. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you, and do this in remembrance of me." Let's have a prayer first, please. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come together to you, worship you, and remember exactly what it is and what it represents, the suffering and sacrifice and what you went through with the stripes and the blood and the bruises that is supposed to be for us. You are our propitiation. You are our substitute. You are the reason we are here. And by your stripes, we are healed. And we give you thanks and we give you glory. In Jesus' name. And he took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this also in remembrance of me." I think it's appropriate, especially at this time of the year, especially for this year, we've just gotten over Thanksgiving, to be very, very thankful. But on a very spiritual level, that we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us not only from all unrighteousness, but as Pastor Joe says, heals us.
Yes.
And strengthens us.
Yes.
And the body of the church says, amen. Pastor Joe, would you like to close?
Thank you, Scott. Heavenly Father, what an honor to partake of these elements, to glorify you and Lord Jesus for the amazing work you've done for us and all the suffering you underwent on our behalf. Thank you, God, for your healing upon us. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that we honor you by partaking of these elements. Lord God, remembering the great price that you've paid on our behalf, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.